My man Brennan is coming up. We have a special, really just an amazing, amazing day today where you know that we're in this worship series. And our worship leader, Brendan, he is going to be ministering the last message. I thought it was just fitting. It's just praying through this and just praying through this. And just really a couple months ago, just on my heart saying, you know what, Brendan needs to be a part of this this series. And it worked out where he's the close to this series. And it's just so important that in a sense of a church that's a worship of word church, that you know the heart of the worship leader. And you know the heart of the one who leads us for 8 years. He's led us in worship. And just to see his growth and just, it's just incredible. It's dynamic. And to see where this church is going, reaching this region for a region of people that really want to acknowledge and worship God. It's just, it's incredible. It's amazing. And today's a special day because Brennan's been with us. Honestly, him and Teresa was, as you know the story, man, I don't want to get time in it because he's got to preach, but it was our first phone call. When we knew God is leading us to start a church, Brennan and Teresa were the very first phone call that we made. And praise God, God has built the four of us together in such an incredible way. We are so focused and so unified in what it is to reach a region with worship and word. And we connect so well with those two coming together as one continuous service, man. It's just incredible. We are blessed as a church. We are honored as a church to watch Brendan and Teresa do what they do for us as a congregation, and watching Brendan just continually explode and grow. We're honored as a church to have him here. And can we say thank you to the Lord for Brendan Miller? Come on, man. I love you. I love you. It's been
awesome. Awesome. Hey, just God was speaking to my heart in just that moment at the end of worship. And one thing that I pray for us as a church and as a congregation is that we are a church that is known of our praise, of our love to worship, of our love to sing, and our love to just celebrate what God has done for us. And do you love to worship? Do you love to worship? Amen. Come on. Let's get into this. That's just it's an honor to be able to do this. It's been it's one of those things that I always kind of felt the push every now and then, and I'm like, no, come on, I don't want to do that. I'm not like it's been one of those things in the back of my mind, like, you know, every now and then God's saying, hey, you know, share your heart a little bit, and I get to do that. You get to see that come out in worship every now and then, but this is exciting for me. I'm glad to be able to do this today. Okay, let's start. A little bit about myself and just background before that amazing phone call that we called him back 20 minutes later, and we're like, yeah, we're in. It was not a hard decision for us. So I grew up at a great church, a Bible-believing church, that very thankful for the doctrine, the foundation that built in me. And kind of through that, I got an opportunity to lead worship for the youth group at that time. And, it's one of those things for me. It was more like, I'm going to just play some music. You know, it wasn't so much about the worship side of things, but it was the start. And it was such an amazing, looking back over this week, just all the prep and everything, looking back and seeing every step and everything that God laid out in front of me in the, you know, man plans his ways, God directs our steps. Amen. And so that, it was just amazing this week prepping for this. And leading worship for the youth group. And then I got an opportunity, the first time that I remember really singing in front of the church congregation, same church, and it was a song called Audience of One by Big Daddy Weave. And I sang that song in front of the church, and that was really the first time I kind of felt that push, like, okay, maybe there's something to this. Maybe that there's more that I can do to lead worship and to really grow in that. And that was a great time. Great time for me personally, because it was just this, wow, there's more than just music. And it was really like that first moment that I think my eyes were open to a little glimpse of like worship. There's something to this. That song, Audience of One, such an amazing song, speaking about that when we sing, when we worship, it is to an audience of one. It is to our King and our Savior. And so through that, you know, I made a connection with my now brother-in-law, and we started playing music together. So I was playing in church, did you mention Pumpkinville or something today? Pumpkinville, okay. So this guy here, he's a few Pumpkinville pumpkin spice donuts thinner there Those donuts are ridiculous, by the way. But so that, you know, this was at Phil's graduation. This is 2003, I believe, 2000. Long time ago. But it's my now brother-in-law, Phil. And we made this connection, playing music together. He was playing drums in a band that I was playing at. Family Life Network had sponsored a band. We called ourselves the 5-7 Band. And they were going through some personnel changes. And right around that time, I got an I don't remember really how I heard it. I don't know if it was on the radio or if it was through Phil, but they needed members. They needed, so they were holding auditions. And I remember, let's just throw Psalm 5-7 up there on the screen for me real quick, please. Wrong one. Psalms 5-7, the verse. Not the picture. We're a little ahead of ourselves there, Isaac. Awesome. But as for me, by your abundant loving kindness, I will enter your house. At your holy temple, I will bow in reverence for you. And that was where the name 5-7 came from. And so auditions were held. I drove out to Bath, to Family Life Network, and I remember just endless blue carpet. That's the one thing that I was thinking about this week, is just this old blue carpet, walking to the back of the building, and there's this, you know, larger room set up, an old upright piano, and then just cords and cables everywhere. And I had, at this point, I knew like very little about running sound and, you know, all of the technology that goes into this kind of stuff every week. And it was a different experience. I didn't really know what to expect. So I get going and I sing a couple songs. And, you know, it was interesting because I didn't make the connection until after the fact. But the guy that was in charge of the band is actually the son of the now general manager of Family Life Network. And if I had made that connection before going up there, I probably would have been a little nervous. I wasn't nervous at all. And it was just one of those things where everything worked out great. I got a spot in the band. I ended up playing bass and leading songs. So that was totally different for me. Because whereas before, I was always playing guitar and ended up playing bass and... this was the first time that I was playing with a band that was more, it was less about the music and more about worship. And that was really like the first real experience outside of church and outside of a worship team that I can remember being like, okay, you know, again, there's something more to this. There's something more than just playing songs and you know, getting people excited. There is something more to this. And so these pictures here, these are from Kingdom Bound 2005. Through the 5-7 Band, we had the opportunity to lead worship for the youth tent every morning. And that was a little surreal. I mean, at that time, I was really just starting to really get into worship, really get into, you know, like there was a band called Hillsong United, and that right around this whole time is really when they exploded, when they really got popular. And so pictures from Kingdom Bound, the guy in the middle there, I'll tell you a funny story in a second. So the guy in the middle there is Chad, and we'd always joke with him because at the time one of the popular shows on TV was called Smallville, and it was the story of Superman as he was kind of coming into the role of Superman, but he looks almost identical to Lex Luthor. And like legit, we get it all the time. Hey man, you really look like that guy, Lex Luthor. And he'd be like, yep, get it all the time. It was just one of those things, funny. So through Kingdom Bound and through Phil, I met Teresa, my now wife. And you know, during this time at Kingdom Bound, I was just kind of coming out of a fairly rough relationship. And, you know, Teresa had been around, and we just had developed a great friendship throughout that time. And we started dating shortly after Kingdom Bound. And the one thing that I really noticed that was kind of, you know, through all of this, from one relationship to the relationship with Teresa, is that Teresa supported me in music. She supported me in worship, supported me in ways I really hadn't experienced in that, you know, that male, female relationship, where you're growing together. Your desire to serve Christ individually is great. And then when you come together, that's just multiplied. And this picture is one of our engagement pictures. But man, that having that different dynamic in our relationship was just like, it was life-changing for me. Because it was just, it fueled me more in that direction of man, I can now have somebody to help me with this. I have somebody where I'm not, you know, doing everything on my own. I have somebody who can be like, hey, that was really bad. Or you need to change this, or you need to do this. And so to have that, and just to have that multiplied was incredible. And I'm going to tell you a quick story of how we met. And I'm going to tell it like Teresa would tell it. So here we go. So I was singing at baccalaureate service with Phil's graduation. And, you know, at the time I was dating somebody else. But this is how Teresa, she says, she saw me and I was singing a song. And her jaw just, you know, kind of hit the floor. And then, you know, there was this moment where it was just like the clouds opened up. And it was like, oh, who is this? And, you know, and then after, you know, she had to get some paper towels or something. And clean. I'm just kidding. But, and then that night, so afterwards, I go over to her parents' house. Because Phil and I, at this time, we were just hanging out, you know, all the time. We were playing music together, playing in the band. And she has told me this since. She saw my silhouette through the door. And she's like, who is that? So I walk in and, you know, rest is history, but a little bit funny. Another funny thing with Phil, she would always be like, Phil, you failed. Like, why am I meeting this guy just now? Like, you never would bring around any of your normal friends. It was always the ones who would just kind of stare at me and breathe heavily when I was in the room. Just the awkward ones and not the normal ones. Funny story. That's actually how I tell it, not how she'll tell it. But yeah, you know. So it was a great time. It was a great time to be able to grow together in our relationship, individually and together, grow closer to God. It was just amazing. So shortly after we had gotten engaged, the 5-7 band, two of the guys got married and decided that it was time to move on. It was just like a good transitional moment in all of our lives where it was like, you know what, the timing's right. We had an amazing time playing with that. I got to travel quite a bit and have all of it paid for, which was awesome. And kind of took it for granted, I think, a little bit. And also during that, I was helping with a youth worship team at a church out by Corning. And a relatively large church. I would say on a Sunday morning, probably about 1,000 people in and out. And it was, and also at that same time, helping with the youth worship team, I was leading worship on Wednesday nights at a thing called Worship in the Fast Lane. What a great name. And Worship in the Fast Lane, it was at this small Methodist church in Hornell. And there were just like these 5-6 older women who would all sit around a table. And they called it Worship in the Fast Lane and loved it. And, and Worship in the Fast Lane, like, it wasn't in the fast lane by any stretch of the imagination. I think we had drums maybe once or twice. Like, it was just one of those amazing times for me where I could go and lead worship in front of that many people, but also go and lead for 5 old ladies on a Wednesday night, and just to know how thankful they were for that, and to know, like, There was a moment at the church in out near Corning where it was a Sunday morning, and the youth worship team, we played like every 3 months or so, and it was kind of the start of a transition to a more modern worship sense, you know. And I'll never forget, like, it was a pretty large sanctuary, and, you know, I'm standing on the stage, and I look back, and just as people are starting to come in for the morning, there's an older woman at the door, and I can hear from the stage, she goes, oh, they're playing today? Well, I'm leaving. And I'll never forget it. And it was, and then to go, you know, back Wednesday nights and have like 5 older women again, just be so overjoyed to be there just to worship. And they would sit, they wouldn't do anything. And they would just, you know, close their eyes and sometimes raise their hands and stuff. But to me, it was such an amazing, like, dichotomy of, man, this, you know, we've got huge, huge church, where absolutely there were people there that were grateful and totally thrilled that we were playing. I had many people there who were very encouraging to me, made connections with people and friendships that still last to this day through that church, and to have people encouraging me in that way. But it was just such an interesting moment where, you know, what the lesson I learned was worship at its core is first about the majesty and greatness of our God, but also simply about being grateful. Bottom line, always about gratitude, always about being thankful for what God has done for us. So yesterday, I'm you know, fact-checking myself with numbers and whatnot, and just I call a friend who I had made from the church in Corning, and we were just talking, and he said something that was just so awesome to me, where it was like, you know, hey, you know, Brendan, I look back on that time really as like the start of where we're at now today. And I look back, and, you know, for me, that was, I was helping with the youth worship team. That service in that time, they actually got canned. Like, it didn't last. And, you know, Teresa and I had ended up moving back, and it was just, it was amazing to hear him say that yesterday, because that church is still growing, still at least that large, and is reaching a great many people out there with updated worship, with modern worship. And to hear him say that, it was just like, wow, again, looking back, God directs every step, and we don't know. That's one of the most amazing things to me, is that we have the privilege to see just a sliver of all that God does all the time. There are things that we will never know, that God has intervened on our behalf, that he has set in motion because we were obedient, and that he is faithful to finish those things. It's just, it's amazing to be able, it's such a blessing to me to talk to him on the phone yesterday and have him say that. You know, that really was a start. I mean, what an honor. That was just an amazing conversation. So, Teresa and I got married October 7th, 2006. And shortly after we got married, we had this crazy idea. Hey, let's start a band. So you'll see, this was us. Again, a lot less donuts in that picture, but started a band with a good friend of mine and Phil. Phil was kind of with me through most of my musical ventures. But started a band called Ascribe right after we got married. And that comes from Psalms 29, verses 1 and 2. If you remember, in the old building, it was painted above the doors of the sanctuary as you would go out. It said, "Ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name, and worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness." So, you know, we started this band, and kind of my goal with it was heavy rock songs that were very worship focused. I was going to play a clip, but I'm not going to play a clip. They were heavy rock songs, very worshipful lyrics. I have a ton of CDs with like three songs. If anybody wants them, I can bring them. I can just give them out. I've had them for like 10 years. No joke. But I'll bring them next week if you want one. But it was during that time, we were traveling quite a ways. Like, we would drive as far as, you know, South Ohio and, you know, far northeast. We did a bunch of youth conferences that were just a blast. And for me, it was like, wow, this is, you know, music is starting to pick up. This is something that I could potentially make a living doing. But in the back of my mind, it was always, you know what, I really felt called to be a worship leader. I didn't know how that was going to happen. At the time, I was 24. I'm like, who is going to hire a kid with no college degree, no college experience? Who's going to hire somebody who's been doing landscaping for 7 years to lead worship? You know, and so start looking out and just keep my eyes open for job opportunities and stuff like that. And through this, the band had kind of hit a crossroads, and I really needed some solid leadership advice, and just had to make some tough decisions. So I reached out to Sean. We had connected a few times doing ministry together with the band, and I just had a great respect for his leadership and great respect for his wisdom. And you know, he really walked me through just a very difficult decision, essentially having to fire people. I mean, that's what it came down to. And it was not fun. It was still to this day is one of the hardest decisions that I ever had to make. But to know what God worked through that, I mean, again, every step directed by the Lord. And Sean and I, we sat down regularly before that decision, regularly after that, and it was just this desire in me, like, I want to know more about God. I want to know more about His Word. I want to know more about worship. And it was, and I would go home, and I'd tell Teresa all of our conversations and all the things that we talked about, and she'd be like, man, I want to go. I want to sit down with this guy and talk to him. And that was really the start of just an amazing friendship, an amazing relationship through that. And man, to this day, it's crazy, because I can remember a long time ago he was a potential candidate for one of the churches that I went to, and to see now where God, like, there was such a deep desire in me during that time to be like, oh man, like, how awesome would it be if he is the pastor? And then, you know, not knowing anything of what was to come. And again, it's just, God is faithful. God directs our steps and everything in His timing. It's been an amazing journey. So after the band, Teresa got pregnant shortly after we were married. Baby number one. And that's Lyra. I love how in these sonograms, they put the word baby. What else is it going to be? Seriously, like, oh, thanks. Thanks for that. You know, as if I didn't know what was already on the screen. Thank you. There's a baby. But we were thrilled. We were thrilled. And, you know, the band at this point had added new members, and things were going great. Again, it was a great time. During this time, I mentioned Hillsong earlier, and their first album, it must have been their third, All of the Above. It's like, you know, being a musician, you can look back, or being even people that love music, you can look back and, like, you hear a song from 10 years ago, and it takes you to that moment. You're like, oh, I remember exactly what was going on at that very moment. And so as I'm listening to this song this week in preparation for this part of the message, it was just like, all these things, all these emotions, all this, it was incredible. And so shortly after she got pregnant, I remember vividly, this is one moment here that I want to spend some time on this morning, with a song called Hosanna. And the bridge of the song, just, I remember sitting on the edge of my bed. We used to live out on the 9 Mile in Allegheny, and staring down at one of my, it was a Christmas gift. It was a stereo that I had gotten one year for Christmas, and blasting this song. I used to blast music so loud at this place that the manager of the park, he'd come pound on the door, and, like, I'd be like, is somebody knocking on the door? Yeah, it's probably just loud music. Continue blasting loud music. Oh no, somebody's actually pounding on my door, trying to get my attention to tell me to turn my music down. And so, you know, I'm blasting out this song, and these words, come on. Are they going to be on the screen? I can't remember I don't think so. All right, I'm just going to read them. Heal my heart and make it clean. Open up my eyes to the things unseen. Show me how to love like you have loved me. Break my heart for what breaks yours. Everything I am for your kingdom's cause as I walk from earth into eternity. And this was just one of these moments for the first time in, like, you know, really growing in my relationship with God, growing together, you know, finding out that I'm going to be a dad. Like, it was like the perfect storm of emotions, but also God speaking to my heart in that very moment. Like, and I was just broken. And it's the first time that I can remember, like, just weeping, knowing the depth of my sin, of my shame, of things that I hang on to time to time, and knowing that through that, God still loves me. And it was just this amazing moment on the edge of my bed by myself in worship. And God brought me to just a different place in my relationship with Him. And, you know, just some of these words, show me how to love like you have loved me. You know, heal my heart and make it clean. What does it mean to have a clean heart? I'm going to let's turn the Bible, Psalm 51, and we'll go to verse 10. I love technology when it works. created me a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit. And the context of this verse is just powerful. This is the moment right after David has been unfaithful and has been adulterous with Bathsheba. And the prophet Nathan comes to him and pretty much says, dude, you screwed up. There's going to be some consequences for this. And, you know, to read that and to see that, like, what's the one thing that David says that he never wants to be outside of the presence of God? And then to say, you know, he says, create in me a clean heart, renew a steadfast, do not cast me away from your presence. Just that apologetic, like, man, so in this moment when I'm on the bed and I'm thinking about these questions, create, what does it mean to have a clean heart? What does it really mean? And then to this verse comes to mind, this passage, to know the depths of, man, can you imagine what David felt in that moment? Just total shame, total failure, total, yes, I screwed up, and I know I screwed up. And what am I going to do to make it right? And just, but even before the steps, what am I going to do to make it right? He says, God, please, please don't remove me from your presence. Don't cast me away from your presence because it is that important to me. God, it's life to me. God, it brings joy to my soul. God, it will bring healing to my soul through this. Don't cast me away from your presence. And then that moment on my bed, just to think about this stuff was like, man, again, through my sin, through my shame, God still loves me. Psalm 139, 23 and 24. It should be on the screen as well. Sorry. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts and see if there be any hurtful way in me. Lead me in the everlasting way. Again, to know, like, create in me a clean heart. Well, what's that take? It says it takes us making that first step to say, God, okay, here I am. That first step of obedience, that first step that says, God, I desire what you desire. Create in me that clean heart. God, continue to make me more like your son. Create in me a clean heart. Create in me a clean heart. Such an amazing time to have, just to be broken with that, completely broken. And then this line right here, this was when, like, everything just kind of, you know, you can see, you know how cameras go out of focus at times, and then you make a small adjustment and everything kind of comes into focus. Show me how to love like you have loved me. How has he loved us? The most quotable verse in the Bible, John 3:16, for God so loved that he gave. For God so loved that he gave. That is how he has loved us, selflessly, sacrificially, completely, unconditionally. He loves us with an everlasting love. Incredible. And again, through my sin, my mistakes, my unforgiveness, my bitterness, all of it, he still says, you are my child. Come on, when we get that, it should be easy to worship. It should be a switch. For me, it's so easy to be so grateful and so thankful for what God has done for me. And I can't, I mean, you see, I can't stand still. I love to celebrate the love of my Father. I love to celebrate and be so thankful for what he has done. Oh, it should be so easy for us. And then Lyra was born. Oh, it was just an amazing moment that I'll never forget. Just this snapshot. I'll never forget a moment in my life where love that I never knew existed in me, the love of a father, just was overwhelming, overwhelming. And so this picture was shortly after she was born. And again, another moment that is just like one of those God moments where your eyes are opened and you get a glimpse of how much he loves us. And if you have kids, you know that there is nothing your kids can do that will make you love them any less. Powerful when you put that in context of our relationship with God. That he loves us unconditionally, that there is nothing that we can do that makes him love us any less. Incredible, incredible. Because of his love, because of that, man, it should be so easy for us to worship. So easy for us to worship. Thing I want to leave you with today. What is it that gets in the way of your worship? For me, it's distractions of things where I spend my time, where I feel like I'm wasting my time. I mean, I really want you to ask yourself, what gets in the way of your worship? Because in light of this, in light, when you really understand, God, I know what you have done for me. God, I know. Oh, I can't imagine the depth of hurt he felt when he had to turn his back on his own son. Come on. Do we realize what Jesus has done for us? The depths of it. Because there is nothing that should ever get in the way of our worship and our gratitude for what he has done. And it should be easy to worship in light of that. It should be easy to just say, God, I recognize your majesty. I recognize your authority. I recognize your greatness. And in that, God, I recognize my place in that, that you put value on me because you sent your son, that you value me so much that you sacrificially sent your son to set me free. Man, it should be so easy for us to worship. It just should come out of us so easily. I mean, I cannot contain my excitement when I know that in that moment, when we are all singing together, when we're playing together, that this is for one purpose, and to know that it is to glorify God. And one of the things that gets me so much in worship is being in this position in the church. There are at times things that I know about people that are just difficult. And then to see that particular person or group of people, hands raised high, totally surrendered in worship, and to know what they're going through. Now, that's why I keep my eyes closed up here most of the time, because I'd lose it every time I saw it. God deserves our worship. And in moments like that, he can speak to a heart. He can bring healing to a heart. He can bring healing to a spirit. He can bring healing emotionally, physically. In that moment of surrender, when we say, God, yes, I do recognize your greatness, your authority, your might. I recognize the sacrifice that you made for me. And this is my response to that. Worship should be easy. Should always be easy. So if you just would bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment. We ask God, create in me a pure heart. In light of that, today I want you to ask yourself a question. God, what is it that is getting in the way of my worship of you? God, is there anything in my life that is going to detract from me giving you my all in worship? Is there anything in my life, God, that I need to confess, that I need to repent of? God, bring my worship and bring my understanding of worship. Bring my understanding of who you are and what you have done to me, done for me, to a new level today. God, that our response would be one that is always worthy of your greatness, that we would hold nothing back, that you search us and that you know the very depths of who we are and you love us the same. God, thank you for this time. Father, I pray that you've spoken to our hearts. We bless your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Verse 1 is just so simple. It just simply says, I love you, Lord. Folks, this is our whole idea of this whole series is our love that is expressed. Why? Because we just love him. And we've heard from Brennan in just these moments along his journey. He's got just great journey ahead. It's incredible. But these moments when God just does, it just puts things in your heart. When you become a father, you see him as a father in a whole different way. Like, what has this series really meant? And I hope it has done something to you in regards to worship. Just to say, God, I love you, and I want to express my love for you. I love you, Lord. It's just so good. So good. Man, God just really, just a powerful word today. Just powerful testimony of our worship leader and what God has done in him, so that now it can come really through him to us as Believers Chapel. Man, we are so blessed, church. We are so blessed. God has brought something very particular and very special to this church, to this local church, this community. And we are never going to take that for granted. We can't take that for granted, man. Don't take it for granted. But come to a place just to simply say, I love you, Lord. And my heart is to worship you. Even the most difficult circumstances still shouldn't be difficult to worship you, because you haven't changed. You're the same on my best and on my worst. You're the same, and you haven't changed. So good this morning. Man, I'm so glad to be in the house of the Lord together with you as a community BC, and just hearing from Brendan and his heart, and just a special day here.